2 Timothy chapter 3, a very well-known verse of Scripture to everyone. Today, the topic I wanted to share today is the word's guiding effect. And we'll start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay, if I get there myself. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we all know this verse, and we've heard it, or these two verses, and heard them many times. The thing that I was thinking about is how vital this is for each believer. You know, we know about doctrine, reproof, correction. Essentially, what I was thinking about was, what happens if I didn't have this? I wouldn't know what to believe, and there would be nothing that would tell me when I was wrong, and there'd be nothing that would tell me how to fix things in my life or to whatever if I didn't have God's Word. And God, so the guiding effect of God's Word is all-encompassing to all of our lives. Without it, we don't have direction. Without it, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to believe. And that would be a very, very sorry and sad state to be in life, wouldn't it? To not know. And here God so openly says, well, here you go. I'll tell you what to believe. And if you make the mistake the odd time, I'll tell you, and then I'm going to help you get it right. I mean, it's what a father would do to his child, wouldn't it? You know, you tell your children, here's what you should do, and nah, don't do that. Do this instead. It's very simple. That's really God's Word. It's His direction. It's His direction in life. It's the guiding effect. The total effect of your life is based on what God would have us to do or not to do. And then He gives you the reason in verse 17 that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that we're ready for anything that comes our way. And that's really what a father or mother do to their children too, right? You want them to be prepared for life. And here God says, well, I've given you my word, you know, and I'll help you, I'll teach you. And then with that, you can deal with anything that comes your way. Now, that means if I don't know the word of God, then I'm not equipped. I don't know what to believe, and I can't deal with things that come my way. So the importance of God's word to our life and its guiding effect is paramount. Look at Psalm 119. Look at a few examples of the kind of things that God's word guides us along. And certainly this list is not exhaustive by any means. Just going to look at a few things. See, God has made our lives very, very simple. He's told us what to believe and how to be ready for anything that comes our way. In Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the word of God is what shows us the way to go. You know, we had a power outage here a little while ago, and I turned my light on, phone or whatever it was, and until I showed the light turned on, I couldn't see anything. And then if I turned that light off while I was walking around, immediately I could see nothing again. It's not like you need the light once in a while. You need it all the time. You can't say, well, I'm going to study the word for a while now, and I got everything right, and then I'm going to, you know, neglect it for now that I've got, and then go back. It is the light. It is what shows you what to do. It shows you where to go. If I don't know it, I don't get the light. If I don't know God's word, if I didn't have it, I wouldn't have a light to my path, would I? It's not, because the word is that light. So without it, there's no light to guide me. There's no light. So the guiding effects are paramount. Verse 9, in the same chapter. We certainly should read the whole chapter, but whole psalm. But
did you say nine?
Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And there's a question that people might ask, or keep his way pure, or live a, you know, a pure life. Well, by taking heed according to the word, thy word. You know, if you want to teach people, young people, how to live a life, what's the best thing you could teach them? The word of God. Because it's a light to their path too. And guess what? It's how they will learn to live a pure life and to cleanse their way. So if they don't have it, and last time I looked around, there's a lot of young people in the world that don't have God's word. Probably having a little difficulty keeping their way pure, cleansing their way, because there's no direction, there's no guidance, there's no lamp, there's no light, there's no doctrine, there's nothing that tells them what, when they're wrong. And yet here it is, very simple. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, he does. The psalmist doesn't say, I won't sin against you so that I can bring in your word into my life. It's the other way around. See, it's the word's guidance that helps you not to sin against God. It's not the other way around. You can't purify your life and then try to accept God's word. It's the other way around. You accept God's word, and it allows you, and it's what guides you, so you're not going to walk in sin or sin against God. It's the word that does the guiding. In verse 24 of the same chapter, same psalm, I don't know, they're supposed to call them chapters or psalms, I don't know. Verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Do you want wisdom? Do you want to know what to do? It says that his word was his delight. No word, no delight. No word, no counsel. See, you can go, you know, down the road. There's a lot here, but let's keep reading a few more. In 92, we'll jump down to verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, which we just read about, I should then have perished in mine affliction. So in this case here, he's saying, if I hadn't known the word, then when that affliction came my way, those precious problems, I would have perished. But because he knew the word of God, he had made it his delight, then he was able to handle the things that came his way. It sounds sort of like 2 Timothy 3:17, doesn't it? Ready to handle situation. He goes, if he hadn't had it, he would have had the affliction come his way. He would have perished in his affliction. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, made me alive, given me life. Again, the wonderful guiding effect of words, God's word. Verse 98, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. And that's not referring to his enemies being with him. The commandments are always with him. Wiser than his enemies. And it's probably really important for a person to be wiser than those that are his enemies. And how did he accomplish that? Well, the same way that he accomplished cleansing his path when he was young, by taking heed to the word. The same way he accomplished not sinning against God, by hiding the word of God in his life, in his heart. Okay. 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. That's a pretty strong statement. I understand more than the ancients or the aged, because I keep thy precepts. You know, there's an old adage that says that with age comes wisdom. Right. Well, that might be true. It's not always true. Otherwise, you could never say you met an older person who was ignorant, but we certainly all have done that. But here he says, instead of just allowing time to pass and then get to a point where you think you have wisdom, how do you get real wisdom? By the word of God. And then he said, it's not a saying that, you know, well, I know everything about everybody. No, it's not. It's just, if you really want to know, if you really want wisdom, he starts from birth, a young person, right to the end. And it is how you get wisdom. It's the word of God. Without that, you don't really have wisdom. You can have an old person that knows a lot about 1,000 things, but have zero of God's word in their life. Is that real wisdom? No. He says, I know more. And he wasn't, this is not a boast. Oh, I know more than all the old. No, it's just because real wisdom comes from the Word of God. First, let's go down to, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse 33, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Sort of like, thy word have I hid in mine heart, isn't it? If you order your steps in God's word, then sin and iniquity will not have dominion over you. It's how you ensure that it doesn't happen. And if you look more, you know, these are just, like I said, a minor list. If you were to go down and look a bit further, you'd see other things like, it keeps our way pure. It helps us to walk in fellowship, keeps us from pride, causes us to prosper, brings joy, keeps us from the destroyer. It heals, strengthens, blesses, produces reverence for God, gives you peace, gives you comfort, gives you patience, gives you hope, teaches you about God's great love for you, and it goes on and on and on. The guiding effects of God's word are all encompassing to our lives. And if we choose to neglect God's word in our lives, then we forfeit all those blessings. All of them. Are there any there that we don't want? You know? But if I neglect God's word in my life, and I mean on a regular, doesn't mean, you know, okay, I'm going to give it a good month here. And at the end of that month, I mean, I got these blessings and then I'm good for a year. No. It's constantly keeping our hearts, our minds in God's word, walking by his word, trying to understand his word and live his word. And then we get the blessings of all that God's word makes. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8, please. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. You know this record. Verse 1. All the people, this is after they had rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem. And all the people gathered themselves together. Verse 1. As one man entered into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. There's probably not a lot of people who would be able to handle that length of time. From the morning until midday, that's a long time. Before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Well, they read God's word. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, verse 4, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood these gentlemen and people, in verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Abani, Sherebiah, and these gentlemen and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the book people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levite that taught the people, said unto the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Like, they hadn't heard this for a while, and so when God's word was brought to the people, and they listened to it for more than 10 minutes, it was a while. They were attentive, and people were helping them understand it, and then they wept when they heard the word of God. Look at the impact the word of God had. And if you read the rest of that chapter, you'll see what they did as a result was they realized that they hadn't been doing what the Word of God said they were supposed to be doing. And then they tried to make that correction and started doing what the Word of God said. See, the word hadn't had the guiding effect in their lives that God intended for it to have. And then when they brought it, and all they did was they real, real complicated. They read it. They read it, and then they understood it, and as a result, they followed it. Now let's look at 2 Kings chapter 22. And this pattern, you'll see it quite a number of times in the Word of God. It's certainly a pattern we don't want to repeat. And that pattern is a pattern where the Word of God goes out of the center of people's thinking for a while. And then they find it, and they go back to it. And we certainly don't want to repeat that pattern. We don't want to get to a point where we go, oh my gosh, it's been so long since I even considered how God's Word gives me peace, or gives me joy, or gives me the hope, tells me about His great love for me. We don't want to get to that point. This is something that we need to, you know, this is a high priority, top priority item in our lives, God's Word. It ought to be. It ought to be if we want all the blessings God's Word promises. If it doesn't, then yeah. In verse 21, verse 1 of chapter 22, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. I can't even get my head around that one. 8 years old. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adadiah of Boscath, and did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, and by the way, during this time, he was helped by the priest, right? Because he's 8 years old. What kind of ruler are you when you're 8 years old without any help? Verse 3. That the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. So this is what they wanted. They had this desire to rebuild the house because it had been, you know, ill repair and so forth. Verse 6, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. Good contractors. Verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now, you know, you have to ask the obvious question. Who lost it? But apparently it was. And yet here they found it. They found the book, so it had been lost. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he did that amazingly complicated thing. He read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, the servants have gathered the money in that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. Oh, by the way, we also found this book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the law, book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded the Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah the servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. Now, that's an interesting statement. Can you even imagine today a president or a prime minister being brought the Bible, and they read it and they go, oh my goodness, as a nation, we have not done what's written in this book. That's what's happening here, isn't it? Josiah was the king. And yet they found that they hadn't done what was in it. And he was like, we have to immediately check into what's going to happen, because we haven't done what the Word of God says we're supposed to be doing. Very enlightening, isn't it? You know, and it's the Word of God that God intended as what to believe and what to do for his people. It is the word of God. Without that, we don't have the direction. And here Josiah was really realized, oh my goodness, I don't have the direction. This certainly can't be good. Wouldn't it be great if people would take that same stance today? I haven't done what the word of God. It'd be great if we, on a regular basis in our own lives, would take that same stance, wouldn't it? Well, I haven't really done what the word of God says here. Not that we're afraid that, you know, of something happening to us. I don't mean that. I mean just to recognize the seriousness of what the direction from God means to our lives on a daily and regular basis. John chapter 1. And there are many other examples of that kind of coming back to the word in the Bible. Well, it's something we ought to come back to regularly. John chapter 1. Well, interesting enough, in John chapter 1, we have the following statement in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is referred to as the Word, the living Word, the Word in the flesh. In fact, Jesus Christ's ministry, when he finishes near the end, what does he say? He says, I have given them thy word. Jesus Christ's ministry was centered around showing them how to live God's word, walk in the power of God. At the end of his ministry, that's what he said. He said, I have given them thy word. And he was the living word. In John chapter 14, John 14. Then we start to read statements like this one here, verse 6. It says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You start to see when Jesus Christ is referred to in God's word, the characteristics that are associated with God's word are paralleled with the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. You know, the psalmist said, I have run the way of God's testimonies. He says, I am the truth. The psalmist wrote, thy word is truth. I am the life. Moses told his people, it is your life to do all the words of this law. You start seeing that the characteristics of God's word are emulated or also in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is life. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we read, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It gives introduction of light to the simple. Jesus Christ said he was the light. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, his wonderful statement, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Great peace have they which love thy law. The word of God is called the gospel of peace. Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ's work, we have peace. He's the Prince of Peace. You know, you don't have to go there, but in 1 Timothy it says that Christ Jesus is our hope. Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law. I have hoped in thy word. Thy word, the testimonies have caused me to hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God unto us. The psalmist said he praised the righteousness of thy testimonies. Jesus Christ is sanctification unto us. Jesus Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth. He was the one that caused us to be set apart. It says in the Bible, the scripture cannot be broken. The prophecy was that none of Jesus Christ's bones would be broken. Christ is called the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. Christ is called, Christ, the Bible says, Christ has made us free. It says, the truth shall make you free. It says, we're clean through the blood of Christ. We read that we're clean through the word of God that is given to us. He sent his word and healed them. Jesus Christ was sent and we're healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. You see, so many of the attributes that are attributed to God's word are attributed to Jesus Christ. We have direction by way of the word. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1 to close. Ephesians chapter 1. We could talk about many, many more attributes, but just looking at a few. It says that all that God did in Jesus Christ, in verse 22, and hath put all things, verse 21, let's read that, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. See, he is the head of the body to which you and I belong. Jesus Christ is the one who is responsible for the body of Christ. You know, that's a real basic list of some of the very, you know, guiding effects of God's word. Well, Jesus Christ has been made the living word. He is head of the body of Christ. He is the one that is responsible now for the body of Christ. So all the blessings that man has been given are encompassed in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has made available. If I want to know when the Word of God brings us hope, if I want to understand more about hope, I've got to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God brings us peace. If I want to know more about peace, I have to understand the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus Christ. If I want to know more about, you know, how to walk with God and how to serve him in great power, I have to go look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, everything that God has for the believer is consummated in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is heading even greater and greater in the age to come. So if I really, really want to understand the guiding effect of God's word, and here is Jesus Christ, who is responsible to guide the body of Christ, he's the head, then I have to understand Christ, and I have to understand all that he is to me, to get to know more and more. And again, and that is again the great command, if you will, to the Christian in the church epistles, is to understand and logically reason out all that Jesus Christ is to you and to me. The guiding effects of God's word, yeah, encompass all in what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. So just a bit on that. Again, this is, you know, something we can look at for the rest of our lives, but important to understand and recognize that, you know, and it's really simple. God has given us a simple life. Here's what you got to do. Here's what you got to believe. And when those men found the Bible, they read it, you know, the law, they read it, and they go, oh, we haven't done this. And then they just got to doing it again. So it's not complicated, but it is very powerful and very needful if we're at least even remotely interested in dealing with the situations that have come our way, because that is the way that we're going to deal with them, is by understanding all that God has made Jesus Christ be to us. Yeah.